Hello and welcome to the Thursday, June 1st edition of Juno Afternoon, coming at you live from KTOO and Alaska's capital city. We've got a great show. We'll be starting off the show with our UAS corner, and we'll be talking with Eric Scott, director of Campus Life. Then we'll find out about Saturday's Family Fishing Day and Perseverance Theater's Star Summer Program, and then also learn about the Northern Lights Lunch Program, and end with Arts Up with Nancy DeCherney. All that and more. Stay tuned.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The scaffold installation at the Walker Art Center in Minneapolis will be dismantled and burned. That was the agreement made Wednesday after a meeting between Dakota elders, Art Center officials, and artist Sam Durant. The piece was set to open this weekend, but the Native community voiced concerns the piece was emphasizing a painful history for the Dakota people. The 1862 hanging of the Dakota 38 in Mankato, Minnesota, and the 1865 executions of leaders Medicine Bottle and Little Six at Fort Snelling. Sheldon Wolfchild, a relative of Medicine Bottle, was with the group of elders who organized last week to quickly respond to the artwork.
We've been affected for 500 years, all of our First Nations and people, on this whole process of injustice for us. And then when it came to the hanging, it just brought back all the generational trauma and emotions again for our people.
Wolfchild says part of the process was sharing Dakota perspectives.
Finally, educating the people of Minnesota and throughout this country about the negative things that they have done to get our land for 500 years. We're going to have a part of closure here in the burning of this terrible, terrible thing that happened to our people.
The artist and the art center has committed to never create the Dakota gallows again. The Walker Art Center, in a statement, says this is the first step in a long process to rebuild trust with the Dakota and Native communities throughout Minnesota. The wooden structure will be taken down Friday, and plans are to have a ceremony and burn the wood at Fort Snelling at a future date. Standing Rock Sioux Chairman Dave Archambault was acquitted of charges Wednesday stemming from opposition of the Dakota Access Pipeline near a construction site in North Dakota. The Bismarck Tribune reports jurors found Archambault and Tribal Council member Dana Yellowfat not guilty of disorderly conduct charges. They were arrested in August after hearing construction crews may have disturbed Native American remains. The tribal leaders were among many arrests made during the months-long camp where people gathered to oppose the pipeline. The camp near Standing Rock was cleared out in February. The Catholic Church has transferred 550 acres of land that's been in its possession for more than a century back to the Rosebud Sioux Tribe, original owners of the property. As Jim Kent reports, the story dates back to the 1800s and a request by a Lakota elder for Jesuit teachers.
Sichanga Lakota leader Spotted Tail asked Jesuits to come to the Rosebud Reservation to teach his children to speak English so they could translate at meetings with the federal government. Spotted Tail was also planning for the future and wanted all Lakota children to be able to survive in both the native and non-native cultures. In order to do this, the Jesuits needed land to establish schools. So the federal government allotted property for that purpose to the Bureau of Catholic Indian Missions in Washington, D.C., and then the Rosebud Sioux Tribe. But over the next century, more and more tribal members moved into cluster housing or into towns, and the properties became abandoned. It's taken about 10 years to accomplish, but former tribal chairman Rodney Bordeaux was finally able to get the Bureau of Indian Affairs to approve the land transfer.
That's great. I mean, it's just the Jesuits kind of given, you know, working with the tribe and tribal members, and hey, we don't have the use of this anymore, you know, return it to the rightful owners.
The land transfer is official when the leases to the Catholic Church are canceled and after the Rosebud Sioux Tribal Council passes a resolution on the property return. One parcel of 80 acres near the Ironwood section of the reservation will be retained by St. Francis Mission in order to provide space for a planned youth equine program. For National Native News, I'm Jim Kent.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation. with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
Support by the Sioux Trading Post, where our special selection of dried herbs are chosen for superior quality, and many sage, sweetgrass braids, red willow bark, and cedar are wildcrafted. All available at SiouxTrading.com. Popula. Support for law and justice-related programming provided by Hobbs, Strauss, Dean & Walker, LLP, a national law firm dedicated to promoting and defending tribal rights for more than 30 years. More information available at HobbsStrauss.com.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
It is 6 minutes past the hour. You're listening to Juno Afternoon, which is produced and engineered by Jeff Brown. I'm your Thursday host, Joan Pardis. And the weather right now, we're looking at scattered showers. Scattered showers tonight. Chance of precipitation is 40%. Tomorrow, isolated showers before 7 a.m. and then showers likely after 10. And then we're looking at a chance of precipitation tomorrow around 60% with a high near 59, and same on to Friday. Right now, it's looking like the high will be 62 and the low will be 47. So welcome to the Thursday, June 1st edition of Juno Afternoon. Welcome to June. As always, we always start our Thursdays with our UIS Corner, and Eric Scott, Director of Campus Life, is here to chat with Jeff and I about what's going on at our University of Alaska Southeast out the road. Welcome back.
Good afternoon, Joan. How are you doing today?
I am great.
Fantastic.
So it's summertime. What does that mean for campus life at UAS?
It is summertime. It means that things get a little bit quieter for us, although we still continue to move in a lot of important ways. For example, our housing plays host to a number of guests and conference groups over the summer. Right now we have a large cohort of Masters of Education students that are living with us for the summer while they perform their cohort work and take classes at the university during the day. So we'll be producing more Alaskan-grown teachers, which is always a good thing. We have a number of other groups coming in and out throughout the period, and then before you know it, we'll be getting ready for our students to come back in the fall.
That's great. That's great that UAS is such a multi-use campus, like many of the campuses down south, that summertime just brings in lots of different people onto the campus.
Absolutely, and we have the added benefit of being in one of the most beautiful places in the world to spend the summer, so a lot of folks clamor for our space in the summer.
Oh, that Auk Lake isn't that special. I'm only kidding. Yes, a quite spectacular setting for UAS.
It sure is.
So if people are, you know, thinking about some courses, if they're thinking about the Juno-centric me, what's going on there?
Yeah, well, it is not too late to register for fall classes, so we would love to get folks in. So many degree programs, so many things to offer out at UAS. It's also not too late to live on campus in the fall. So if you're a Juno student and you're planning on taking classes at UAS, housing is still an option for you. We have space, and we have great housing options available. So we have our traditional suite-style residence halls for our first-time, first-year freshmen, but then we also have a great number of apartment buildings. So we play host to everybody from our first-year students and our international students that are coming to visit us on exchange, all the way up to families with children. So we have a really multifaceted and dynamic metropolitan community on campus, and it's small, so you really have the opportunity to get to know your fellow classmates and really focus on school while you're in there.
That sounds great. That sounds great. And you were talking about an event during the break about campus kickoff. What is that?
Yeah, so Campus Kickoff is our annual large campus life program that, like the name says, kicks off the year. And so Friday, September 1st, we'll invite community organizations and volunteer opportunities and philanthropic groups to come out, set up a table at UAS, and it's basically the year's largest organization and involvement fair. And unlike some campuses, our organization and involvement fair at Campus Kickoff is not limited to what you can do on campus. One of the advantages of being in a town like Juneau is that we really see this entire community as our campus and our lab. And so we encourage our students to go out, make connections, and find the things that they love, enjoy, and are passionate about in the community. For example, we have one of our students runs Radio UAS, and I believe that he got connected with K2 at Campus Kickoff. And so if organizations are interested in setting up a table at Campus Kickoff, they can send an email to uas.sab@alaska.edu. That's uas.sab@alaska.edu. And they can get the sign-up form today. Participation has a small fee, but if you are willing to pay for that low fee and then chip in a little bit extra for our T-shirts, we'll get your name on the back of the T-shirt and lots of really, really good press.
All right. That sounds great. All right. So to find out more, where do people go one more time?
So folks can send an email to uas.sab@alaska.edu for any organization or group that is interested in participating.
Okay. Sounds great. Well, thanks for coming in to town from UAS. And anything else we should know about before we let you go?
Well, I would say just remember that UAS is our hometown university, and we are ready and willing to accept students here from Juneau and other Southeast communities that are ready to further their education and take that next big step in life.
That sounds great. All right. Thanks so much for all you do.
Thank
We're
going
to take
Joan.
A short break. We'll be right back.
The Writer's Almanac for Thursday, the 1st of June, 2017. It's the birthday of the French engineer and physicist Nicolas Leonard Sadi Carnot, born in Paris in 1796, often described as the father of thermodynamics. He wrote one of the first physics books written for a general audience. It was called Reflections on the Motive Power of Fire, came out in 1824, and he contributed his thinking to the second law of thermodynamics, which, as you remember, says that heat will naturally flow from a hotter to a colder body. It's the birthday of the man who wrote the lines, "I must go down to the seas again, to the lonely sea in the sky, and all I ask is a tall ship and a star to steer her by." John Masefield, born in Ledbury, England, 1878. He was an orphan sent to live with his aunt. She thought he read too much, and so she sent him off to a naval training school ship, where, of course, he had a lot of spare time, and he read more than ever. He was poet laureate of the United Kingdom for 37 years. It's the birthday of Marilyn Monroe, born Norma Jean Mortensen in Los Angeles, 1926, who said, "I don't want to make money, I just want to be wonderful." It was on this day in 1974, Henry J. Heimlich published his Heimlich Maneuver in the Journal of Emergency Medicine. It's the birthday of the linguist and translator C.K. Ogden, born Fleetwood, England, in 1889. He co-founded the Heretics Society, an organization dedicated to questioning religious dogma. He translated books from French and German into English, and he devoted many years to creating and advocating something he called Basic English, or Simple English, a simplified version of English that he believed could become a universal language. With a vocabulary of 850 words, only 18 of which were verbs, he thought it would be the solution to the problem of international miscommunication and misunderstanding, and would help to achieve world peace. George Orwell was in favor of it for a while, and H.G. Wells, but Orwell changed his mind about it, and he made fun of it in his novel 1984 as the model for newspeak, the state-sanctioned language that has no words to express original thought. Here's a poem for today by Joy Sutphen entitled "My Father Dying." It was hard work dying, harder than anything he had ever done. Whatever brutal, bruising, back-breaking chore he'd forced himself to endure, it was nothing compared to this. And it took so long. When would the job be over? Who would call him home for supper? And it was hard for us, his children. All of our lives, we'd heard my mother telling us to go out, help your father. But this was work we could not do. He was way out beyond us, in a field we could not reach. My Father Dying, a poem by Joyce Hutphen, used by permission of the poet, here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, now available on iOS devices, subscriptions available at poetrymagazine.org, and by Staples, with print and marketing solutions designed to promote businesses, including business cards, presentations, large banners, and posters printed in-store or ordered online. Learn more at Staples and staples.com. Staples. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
If you don't like going to the dentist, it's probably because it was a bad experience for you as a child. Times have changed. The board-certified pediatric dentist at the New Search Children's Dental Clinic will explain things in a way your child understands and provide fun distractions. Kids will actually want to go to the dentist and want to take care of their teeth throughout their lives. The New Children's Dental Clinic at Search is proud to offer pediatric dental services to all Juno's kids. To make an appointment for your child, call 789-KIDS.
Welcome back to the show. It's 3:16 p.m. It is June 1st, and June, for a lot of people in Southeast Alaska and throughout the state, means fishing, and not to be left out of that conversation. In the studio with us are two people. We've got Daniel Teske of Fish and Game, and we have Tim Banizak from the Juno Gaston Rotary Club, also known as the Breakfast Club. They meet early, I think on Mondays or Tuesdays.
Thursdays.
Mm-hmm. And to make Juno a better place. And they're here to talk about Family Fishing Day at the lake, which is this Saturday, 10 to 3 at Twin Lakes. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
So from what I understand, 28 years ago, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game started the day at the lake, and then Rotary jumped in, this particular Rotary. There's four Rotaries, I think, mm-hmm. in town, you know, Gaston Rotary. So, Tim, let's talk a little bit about what people could expect on Saturday.
Absolutely. Thank you. So good afternoon to our listeners out there. So in 1991, the Rotary Clubs came alongside to try to add some things to the fishing day at the lake. So Dan will talk a little bit about the fishing part of it, but it's important to just highlight that this is supported by both all the Rotary Clubs in town, as well as the Department of Fish and Game, and many, many folks in town who contribute to this. So some of the things that we'll have there, in addition to the fishing, is hot dogs provided by Super Bear, and chips by Northern Sales, sodas and drinks provided by Odom Corporation, Coca-Cola of Alaska. Free coffee is provided by the Heritage Coffee Company, and hot chocolate by the Flying Squirrel, and shaved ice, and cotton candy by Jared Lee Dental and the Glacial Grinds. And some of the things that we're going to have going on there is face painting by the Juno Valley Rotary Club. There'll also be games going on during then. And then we'll have prizes for folks, so the young people that are there. And those are provided by Barron's Mechanical. And then we're going to have not one, not two, but three bouncy houses this time. So that's new. And
it
that's
is.
The first this year. So we're really excited about that.
There'll be kids bouncing between the bouncy houses.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great. And what a great community gathering. Everyone, thank you all, everyone who supported this event. But let's talk about the main event. So that's the party. What about the fishing, as
yeah.
they say?
So,
no G in fishing.
So, yeah, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game Division of Sport Fish works cooperatively with DIPAC Hatchery to stock the lake annually with several thousand catchable-sized king salmon, around 7 to 10 inches in length. So a couple weeks ago, those fish were stocked in there. And then the Fish and Game Department will be on hand in a big booth, and we have fishing rods, reels,
bait, expert how-to advice on how to fish, and we provide all that for free on Saturday. And family, friends, anybody, all ages are welcome to come on down to Twin Lakes and come and grab a rod and reel and some bait and go ahead and go fishing on the lake. We'll also have some other agencies there. The U.S. Forest Service will have some staff members on hand to row folks around the lake in their rowboats. And also in the past, we've had the U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary there to talk about water safety and hand out life jackets and things like that. So it is a great cooperative effort, and we hope a lot of people can come out Saturday from 10 to 3. We'll be there, rain or shine.
It's supposed to be sunny.
Yes.
All right.
Can I just, before we run out of time here, there's a few other entities we want to make sure that we capture on here. Reuben Willis, State Farm, who helped support this. The Coast Guard, who Dan mentioned, Territorial Sportsmen, the Forest Service. And then all the Rotary clubs in town are part of this. And then our young people's chapter of the Rotary, the Junior Rotary Act, will be there helping out. So it's a great event, and it would not be free without all of those folks helping out. So we really appreciate
the quite a group effort. Yeah,
tremendous.
Absolutely.
Effort.
And also the poster for the Family Fishing Day at the lake. You want to talk a little bit about how you get the graphic?
Absolutely. So part of getting the word out is developing a poster. So we have a wonderful program where one of our Rotarians, Mary, reaches out to the schools, and we put a contest out there so that we can have a poster that's selected, and all the young people from K through 12 have an opportunity to put a poster together and then submit it. And I can tell you, it is impossible to select a winner. There are so many incredible pieces of work that come in, but we really appreciate that. So this year's selection was Joan Ellen Eschner from Thunder Mountain High School, and she did a tremendous drawing of a fish, almost like a fishbowl, a little bit of a look, and then within that is the whole Twin Lakes scene. And you can find that if you just Google the Juneau Gastineau Rotary Club, and you'll see our site come up, and then right at the very top will be this poster, and you can click that on there, and you can see some of Joan Ellen's work. So we really appreciate the schools participating in that.
That sounds great. So Family Fishing Day at the lake, it is this Saturday, 10 to 3. It's free. It's a collaborative effort through, I don't know, dozens of different agencies and corporations and businesses and people and a big group effort. So I can't let you go, fish and game guy, Daniel. So what do you think? You think it's going to be a good season?
Well, it should be good on Twin Lakes. We got several thousand fish in there. As far as that goes, it should be pretty good. Good chance of catching a fish on Saturday.
And you can take them home.
And you can take them home.
Okay,
yep.
And you could fry them up if you want.
Yes.
Okay.
It's your one chance to catch a king salmon.
I know.
While the season's closed right now.
Yeah.
That's good.
Only there.
That's exactly. Yep. Exactly. And who knows what's in that lake. All right, we're going to take a short break. Thank you both for
Thank
all
you.
That you do.
Thank
Thanks
you.
Okay,
much
we're
going
to take a short break. We'll be right back.
2, 3, 4. I'm going fishing and I'm flying low. I'm going fishing and I'm flying low. The Kenai River flows just 2 hours from my door. I'm going fishing and I'm flying low. Sky. The fish weren't biting, and I wondered why. He swooped down and grabbed himself a fish. I wondered if that's his favorite dish. I'm going fishing, and I'm flying low. I'm going fishing. The Kenai River flows just 2 hours from my door. I'm going fishing and I'm flying low.
Welcome back to Juno Afternoon. It is 24 minutes past the hour. It is June 1st, and it's a Thursday, and it's a new month, which means that it's First Friday tomorrow. And it's always great to have artists in the studio to talk to Jeff and I about their work. And here with us right now is Lou Isaac. She is going to be the featured artist at the Juno Artists Gallery and downtown.
Yes.
And tomorrow, 4:30 to 7. So let's talk about your art, Lou. Describe what you do.
So I've been an artist ever since I was 10, and I'm very much older than 10 now. And
just a few years.
I have worked in the arts my whole life. I had a 30-year career doing residential architecture and interior design, and sort of retired from that about 3 years ago. And I'm doing a lot of traveling and pretty much painting full time, which makes me very happy.
Okay, tell us about your paintings. What?
I have a degree in art from the University of Washington, but I've been most influenced by Russian impressionists.
Mm.
Impressionism was a way of using color that these wonderful artists at the turn of the last century came up with, and it was all the rage for a while. And then when more art traditions changed and modern art sort of happened, that knowledge on how to use color was no longer taught. So it isn't taught in the Western world, but it still is taught in Russia.
And did you study there?
I didn't study there, but I have studied with Russian impressionists who have come to the United States to spread the knowledge. And it's something that's really special to me. I think it's really beautiful.
That's great. So a couple of things about Lou. First of all, it's L-U-E, Lou, K. Isaac. She recently illustrated a book called Colors of the Morning Sky using this impressionism type of painting, and it's quite beautiful. But let's talk about the show, the Juno Artist Gallery show tomorrow. How many pieces do you have in it, and what are they like?
I normally have about 20 paintings on the wall all the time, and I probably put out about 7 or 8 more just for this display, because you get an extra display when you're the featured artist. And so
okay,
I have some more.
Let's back up 1 second.
Okay.
So we're talking like everyone knows what the Juno Artist Gallery is. So let's talk about that cooperative effort, and then we'll talk specifically about your show.
All right. It's on Franklin Street. It's in the Senate Building on the first floor. So as you walk in, you look straight ahead and you see it. And it's a cooperative of 24 local Juno artists doing all sorts of things, painting, drawing, ceramics, printmaking.
Culinary.
Food. Photography. And
Jewelry.
Lots of jewelry. And it's really wonderful. I moved to Juno 3 years ago. And one of the reasons I moved here, I knew I was going to come to Southeast Alaska, but I was really taken with Juno because of the arts tradition and atmosphere that you have here.
Where did you move from?
I moved from Seattle. I was in Seattle for 50 years.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about the show. So you have 20 pieces in the gallery on a regular basis.
Yes.
You have 7 more.
Yes.
And so this show, does it have a theme?
No. Because we're in Juno and most of our sales come from the cruise season, it is sort of directed towards cruise
visitors. It's directed toward visitors.
Yes.
I have
traditionally worked really large. These are relatively small. They're 12 by 16 inch paintings and 16 by 20 inch paintings. So they're small enough to fit in a bag and be taken on a cruise ship. And they are mostly Alaska subject matter. So they're animals and landscapes. And in the new things that I have just hung, there are some portraits, which are not probably what the cruise people want, but that's what I like to paint. So,
who are the portraits of?
Various people. Some of them are people I know. Some of them are just from images that I see. So I often paint all of the things I do, the animals, the landscapes, and these portraits are, I'll just find an image that I like and paint from that. So the one that's on the Facebook page, Juno Artist Gallery has a Facebook page, and my work is featured right now. And that's a picture of Dame Maggie Smith. And the photo was taken when she was acting in the Downton Abbey series, and so she's dressed in costume for that. And it's pretty stunning.
It is. I saw a picture on her phone, and it's stunning
it
on her
pretty
phone.
It's stunning. It's better in real life when it's big.
Well, we will have to go check it out tomorrow.
Please come. Please come. We have free munchies, and a lot of the artists come in, and it's a big, fun social thing that we all do anyhow. So
that's great. So you said 16 by 20 is kind of small for you. So how large is large?
I've done things that are... well, I do drawings that are 32 inches by 40 inches, life drawings, so almost full-size human figures. And I paint on that scale, too, so things that are 3 feet by 5 feet.
Wow.
I've done lots of really large paintings. I like to draw and paint standing up and using my whole body and getting all of me involved in it. And so I don't draw details and things really with a pencil and using small motor skills with your fingers. I use my whole arm. So it's easier to do that when you have a big canvas. You know, it's harder to use your whole arm and get everything on that 12 by 16 canvas. But I've been trying to do it so that our visitors can put it in their bag and take it away after they purchase it.
That sounds lovely. Okay, so check it out tomorrow.
Yes.
First Friday.
Yes.
Juno Artist Gallery.
Please. And then it'll
Blue
be up all month.
Right.
Month
so if you don't want to come down tomorrow, you have something else to do.
Somebody will be there.
It'll still
talk to
be
you.
There some other time. Thank you so much. It was such a pleasure meeting you.
Thank you.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
This is Bird Note. High in the western mountains and forests of the north, where even the long summer days stay cool, a beautiful song echoes. Here the evergreens are narrowly tapered like a forest of cathedral spires. Singing atop one spire is a hermit thrush. The hermit thrush is modest in appearance and roughly robin-shaped, though smaller. Mostly brown, the thrush has a rust-colored tail and pale breast dappled with black spots. Clearly, the bird's most distinguished attribute is its song. Even within the thrush family, which includes many highly renowned singers, the hermit thrush stands out. Its song has been described as ethereal, serene, or flute-like. Naturalist Ralph Hoffman wrote, "It is the opening note that gives the performance the effect of a chant of sacred music. None of the other fine performers among the mountain birds has the same spiritual quality of tone or gives the effect of religious ecstasy. High praise indeed for a small brown bird." You can listen again to this small brown bird and many others when you come to our website, birdnote.org.
Travel to Sitka this June and join us for the 46th annual Sitka Summer Music Festival. Grammy award-winning cellist Zool Bailey, the Ataka Quartet, soprano Kate Bass, pianist Natasha Peremski and Nava Perlman, and many other talented musicians will delight your senses with 24 concerts and community events. Tickets and full program details are available at sitkamusicfestival.org. Come to Sitka and experience Alaska's premier chamber music festival.
Support for this station comes from Breeze Inn, with special events catering that features food crafted from scratch from Chef David Moorhead. A downloadable catering menu is available online at breezeinn.com.
KTOO's fiscal year closes out on June 30th, and we're just $20,000 shy of our membership goal for the year. A huge thank you goes to everyone who's already given this year and to each of you who is a sustaining member. If you've never made a contribution to the station or it's time to renew, you can make a big difference at KTOO.org. 2 minutes of your time right now will add up to thousands of minutes of great listening in the year to come. Thank you.
You're listening to Juno Afternoon, coming at you live from Alaska's capital city, specifically the KTOO studios. Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer of Juno Afternoon. I'm Joan Pardis, your Thursday host. It is about 25 minutes to the hour on June 1st. Our next guest is Carol Burrell. She is here representing Northern Lights United Church, Northern Light United Church, talking about their new lunch program, which is in tandem with Geneva Woods. Welcome to the show, Carol.
Thank you.
So tell us about this lunch program.
Well, it's not new. We've been doing this for a while, but we have worked with the state nutrition program, child nutrition program, to serve lunch to any child up to the age of 18, a good nutritious lunch. We don't want any child in the area there to go hungry this summer. So a number of us have gotten together and make a good lunch, nutritious lunch with milk and vegetables and meat. And then we also have activities for kids, too. Sometimes it's playing outside if the weather's good. Sometimes it will be just activities inside. Could be coloring stuff. It could be games inside. So we hope that lots of kids from that area, not only Geneva Woods, but other kids in that area will come. But it's held at the Geneva Woods facility so that we have a place for them to sit down and eat lunch.
And do the participants of the program have to live in Geneva Woods?
No, they don't.
Okay. So where is Geneva Woods?
Geneva Woods is the housing facility that's right next door to Gastineau Elementary School in Douglas.
Okay.
And many kids from the neighborhood come by, as they have last year. Sometimes we had as many as 20 kids for lunch.
That's
right. Other times it was less, but any number we're welcome to serve.
And it's Monday through Friday?
Monday through Friday, starting on the 5th of June. And we'll go through the 11th of August without making lunch on the 4th of July, because there's always plenty of food in downtown Douglas on the 4th of July.
There's plenty of food in Juneau.
And there is no cost. We don't charge any child who wants to eat.
So you go over and where does this all happen?
We make the food at our church because we have an approved kitchen. Some of the meals will be made that day and taken over. Some of the meals will be made ahead and frozen, and then we'll take them out and get them thawed and heated up and then take stuff over there on that day.
That sounds great. So how long have you been involved with the program?
Oh, probably at least 5 years.
Wow.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
That's
right.
Fabulous. And do you rotate? Like, is it the same people from providing lunch every day, or is it a group effort?
It's a group effort, and we have two hired employees for the summer. There's Mark Banta, who's going to be overseeing the program. And then another person that's hired, kind of helped to do activities, is Jamie Barnhill. And he's a college student and back here for the summer. So he is going to help us for the summer with that job.
That is great. That is great. So are you seeing the same kids summer after summer?
We do see some of the same kids. And they go all the way from little kids in strollers all the way up through, I don't know that we've had too many in high school, but certainly through middle school. It's nice to see them back again. It's nice to see them happy and fed.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. And if people want to find out more about the program or maybe donate to the program, how could people do that?
They could call the church. The church number is 586-3131. I also want to put in a plug for a couple of other places that are serving lunch this summer. And one is out at the Shepherd of the Valley Church, Lutheran Church in the Valley. And the other one, there's going to be food served at Cedar Park, which is a housing facility up Cordova Street and off to the right. And there's another church, I think Douglas Methodist Church is serving that one.
Okay.
So there are other opportunities in Douglas and out in the Valley.
And if people want more information, they should call those.
They can call our church or the other two facilities as well.
All right. That sounds great. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
For coming in and telling us what's going on and also for what you do.
All right.
That
You're
sounds
welcome.
Great. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. Thank you for sharing your afternoon with Juno Afternoon on KTOO. That's Jeff at the board with his polka music and myself, Joan Partis, at the mic, chatting with our guests. And our next guest is the lovely Megan from the Juno Arts and Humanities Council, who's here to tell us all about the arts and culture opportunities for the weekend and beyond. How you doing, Megan?
Good.
Yeah.
Very good.
So, First Friday tomorrow.
First Friday. This is one of the busiest Fridays I've seen in a long time, actually. We have all kinds of stuff going on. So
it's summertime.
My speech will be Friday heavy today.
Okay.
But First Friday, all kinds of fun openings. I hear you chatted about the artist gallery already. The Canvas has a really nice reclaimed show with Alex Botello, who teaches the ceramics classes over there. And there's also Grace Corrigan, Gloria Mar Ramirez, and Toby Weston involved, if you know any of those fun Canvas folks. We have Juno Pride Plus exhibit at the Jack. So it's really fun. It's a group show. Sigla produced it. It's part of Juno Pride Month. So it's up at the Jack for the whole month. And the show was curated by M.K. McNaughton. So it's a multimedia exhibit, paintings, digital art, sculptural art, drawings, all kinds of lovely things. Come check it out. It will open at 4:30
tomorrow
at the Jack.
Mm-hmm.
We'll also have those handy flyers. If you want to see what's going on around town, come grab a flyer, little map. Let me think. I just wrote up the gallery walk press release today. What else is happening?
Well, Amalga...
Amalga Distillery, yeah, I missed them on my press release, but they have a really nice show with... Oh, Christopher Taylor, painter. Beautiful paintings. And during First Fridays, Trail Mix takes over for them at the bar, and all the tips go to Trail Mix, which is a lovely partnership.
That sounds great.
So check those out. Come get your flyer. And tomorrow is our first of the season, Rock Around the Block Party.
Okay, tell us what a Rock Around the Block Party is.
It is a community collaboration between ourselves, the folks at the Slam, the food trucks in the front, Happy Camper and Pucker Wilson's, and we've dragged in Panhandle Produce, too, to produce some farmers markets.
Oh, cool.
So every week is a slightly different theme. First Friday, we'll obviously already have First Friday going, but we'll have beer gardens those days. Tomorrow we have Juno Big Band as the music performance, a beer garden, First Friday, and a couple other fun things going on at the Jack for First Friday.
So where do these Rock Around the Blocks take place?
You know, we called it as a rain location in the main hall for tomorrow.
Okay.
Just because the weather has been so iffy the last few days. So tomorrow it will all take place indoors in the main hall. However, if the weather's good, the music and the dancing is going to be at Pivot Plaza, which is that fun round plaza in front of the Slam, the APK building at the Slam. And then the vendors and the beer garden and all that kind of stuff will be just right across the street in the Jack parking lot.
Okay. And this Panhandle Produce, this farmer's market, what is that going to be? What do you
and
think?
They won't be there tomorrow, but they will be there on the last Friday of every month.
Cool.
And Kylie and Eli Ray own Panhandle Produce, and they just started a Kickstarter to have local produce year-round in Juneau. And they've also been organizing the second Saturday markets. So they're great market folks. And on the final Friday of every month during the Black Parties, we'll have local produce vendors there. So think of Panhandle Produce, Orsi Organics, kind of mini food festivals almost.
Sounds great.
Yeah, it'll be really fun. We've got lots of fun projects and partnerships. The week after, KTOO is going to partner with us for the Black Party.
Oh, cool.
And do a community appreciation night.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
So before we get into too many details about that, what about the rest of the weekend?
Let's take a look. We've got First Friday. We have Ballroom Dance. That was my other big one I forgot to mention about Friday. Ballroom Dance will take over after the Black Party at the Jack. It's always pay-as-you-can. Everyone's welcome. And the theme, they always have very fun themes with glorious decorations, is Down by the Seashore.
Oh, nice.
So put on your sandals, your dancing sandals, and do some ballroom dancing. We've got Friday Night Live at the Fish and Chips Company Flight Deck also tomorrow. and I think that might be a whiskey class, but I should double check the community calendar. Run for Rotary is happening Saturday morning. They have a 1 mile, 5K, and 12K course, and that's at Riverbend Elementary School. Pre-register, if you can, at juno58rotary.org. Let's see. There's a hospice whale watching cruise on Saturday at Stater Harbor, and you can get your tickets at ccsjuno.org. That's Catholic Community Services, ccsjuno.org. You can explore Douglas history at the public library with Mark Whitman at 1 p.m. on Saturday. There's a beer tasting, newest in the Treadwell Barrel series, at the Alaskan Brewing Company at 4 p.m. on Saturday. And it looks like that's the 100-year anniversary of the Treadwell Mine Cave-In, so some pretty interesting history and beer at the same time. Always a fan. Every other Saturday drawing group at the Canvas is on Saturday, and Cornhole Saturday is at the Fish and Chips Company. So, busy Saturday, as usual. Moving on to Monday, it looks like Sunday is pretty relaxed. There's a Douglas 4th of July committee planning meeting. So if you want to be involved in 4th of July planning, Monday at 6:30 p.m.
Where is that?
That is at the Hangar Ball. Oh, nope. Wrong line. Hold on. Douglas Community Fire Hall.
Cool. Makes sense.
Joan, I can't read today. It's been one of those days. Tuesday, there is an author talk with Mike Dunham at the Alaska State Museum. And Mike authored The Man Who Bought Alaska and The Man Who Sold Alaska. And that's at noon, and it is free. Seward and the Tsar, Alaska and Emancipation, presented by the same author, and that's at 7:30 to 8:30 at the Mendenhall Public Library. So, sounds like there's a fun author in town with lots of public readings.
It does. Sounds like an interesting topic.
I know. Wednesday, we've got Ultimate Frisbee at Juno Douglas High School. It's a pickup game, $5 to $10 donation to help with field costs, but if you need an excuse to run around and throw some Frisbees, check out the Ultimate Frisbee Pickup Group. And that brings us to the end of the week.
Cool. Let's talk a little bit about that collaboration between KTOO and the Juno Arts and Humanities Council for the next, not this Friday, but next Friday.
Yeah, so that's Friday, June 9th. The revelries will start at 5 p.m. KTOO is going to do a mini membership drive next week. And so as a top-it-off thank you to the public and a collaboration with the Jack, they are going to take over the block party. And Annie B will DJ.
Oh, fun.
There's going to be root beer floats and real beer floats sponsored by Copa and Barnaby Brewing and Alaskan Brewing. There will be a pop-up record shop and also thank you guests for all the KTOO members. In addition to that, part of our weekly theme for the block parties that the Jack's sponsoring, we will have a pet photo booth.
Oh, fun.
So we're going to have a pet photographer there, show up with your pet, hang out in front of some red velvet curtains, take some glamorous photos, and Gastineau Humane Society will be there, too, with some information on how to properly take care of your pets in Juno and the services that they provide. So potentially more fun pet projects.
That sounds great.
For the other weeks.
Always amazing how much the Juno Arts and Humanities Council staff does on any given day, on any given week, in any given month, in any given year. It's just amazing what the six of you do.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. We work hard and we have a lot of fun.
Right. So if you support the Juno Arts and Humanities Council, you could become a member or donate to the new building.
Yes.
So our lovely staff could be displaced for a couple of years and then land in a fabulous new place, right?
We can't wait. We're so excited.
I bet. Because what you do with that space be phenomenal.
I know. Imagine block parties in a brand new building.
Exactly. State of the art.
Plaza.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Be so nice. It'd be so nice.
Yep.
Well, thanks for all that you do and coming by today.
Thanks for having me.
So you heard it here. Check out calendars at the Juno Arts and Humanities Council or KTOO about the first Friday happenings. A lot happening. It's going to be inside tomorrow.
It'll be inside,
yeah,
yes.
Just because of the weather. But there's lots going on, so check it out. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. It's 8 minutes to the hour, and actually Megan and I were talking, and then we have more to talk about, so I'm not letting her go back across the street. Nancy DiCiorni is on vacation this week, so Megan's acting as the executive director, so I'm going to keep her away from her busy staff for a little bit more. So what's going on? You having some kind of raffle tomorrow?
We are. Thanks for giving me the microphone back. I could talk all day about all of our stuff. We have been sponsoring a donation effort on behalf of a local artist. Her name's Sandra Mander. She's a wonderful potter. She does both functional and sculptural pottery pieces. And she has made a series of refugee sculptures, and she fundraises with them and gives all of the money to Doctors Without Borders, the UN Refugee Agency, etc., depending on what the need is for that particular crisis. And so the one we have at the Jack right now, and you can come see it, it's right next to the front desk. It is a sculpture of a pregnant Sudanese woman, and it's absolutely beautiful. So you get to enter the raffle by donating any amount of money. Just say, I want to donate $5, I want to donate $100, and then we put your name in a very fancy glass bowl with your raffle ticket. And
don't worry, there's no fish in that bowl.
Correct. I don't think. No water, no fish. Maybe I'll throw a couple Swedish fish in there. And then at 6 p.m. tomorrow, first Friday, we're going to wrap it all up, and we will be doing the drawing for the person who's going to win the sculpture.
Cool. So, and all the money goes to those agencies
to the,
that you were talking about.
Yep. Doctors Without Borders and the UN Refugee Agency are the two main ones. And so we actually have had two sculptures representing the Syrian crisis and the Sudanese crisis, but one of them was taken in the grand robbery of last summer. So we're on number two now, and the police have the original, the Syrian sculpture, so we will get it back.
Oh, well, that's good news.
For now, we have the Sudanese one, and we'll do the drawing tomorrow at 6. So please stop by for First Friday. Check out the sculpture. If you're a pottery geek, it is soda-fired and has beautiful surface on it. and enter to win a chance at taking the sculpture home.
Okay. All right. And before I let you go, just a quick thing about how do people become members of the Juno Arts and Humanities Council?
You just call us, or you go online, or you stop by the Jack, any way you want.
Okay. And what are the benefits besides
the
supporting?
Besides feeling really, really good about yourself for the next year, you get very many benefits. You get subscription to our weekly newsletters for the arts that are going on around town. So basically a written email version of everything I've been babbling about for the last 15 minutes. You get 10% off in the Jack Lobby Shop. You get 10 to 20% off our season tickets, so our concert series that runs fall, winter, and spring. And you get advanced tickets to fun events like wearable art. So
okay.
That's one of our big ones.
And
our membership does go up in February, right before wearable art happens.
There we go. And is there a minimum as far as a minimum member
contribution? You know, we have suggested amounts, but we are not discriminatory in any way. If you have $5, that definitely makes you a member. If you want to go up and up and up, then wonderful. But our suggested individual donation is $40. For a couple, it's $60, and then it kind of steps up from there. And that is good for a year. So it's not – you could also do a monthly recurring thing and say, I'm going to donate my $5 coffee money to the Jack, and we'll just pull $5 out once a month.
And how important is that membership money?
It's very important. We are a membership-sustained organization. So we do get grants, but a good portion of our operating budget comes from membership and from people like you. So we couldn't do these wonderful programs like the Block Party, free community events, grants, scholarships, you name it, without that member support.
That sounds great. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming across the street. I'm going to do the weather, and we're going to wrap up the show. So the weather, it is still scattered showers and scattered showers tonight, a precipitation 40%. Tomorrow we're looking at 60% of precipitation. Same for Friday night, actually, 80%, which is why the Friday night block party's inside. And then Saturday it's saying scattered showers, cloudy with a high near 58. Chance of precipitation is 40%, and we're looking at that, like, we're looking at rain and clouds for the foreseeable future, according to the Juno NOAA site. So tomorrow, Juno afternoon, every day, Monday through Friday, 3 o'clock. If you can't tune in, you could always check it out at ktoo.org and listen to it at your own leisure on demand. Tomorrow there will be talking with musician LaTroy Buras, Salmon Beyond Borders, and also Pastor Tori will be here to talk about the weekend's bike rodeo. All that and more. So Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer of the show. Thank you for sharing your day with Juno Afternoon and KTOO.
This is KTOO Juno. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juno and